Trying to calm down here. Trying to calm down. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yes, it is I, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty as Mike is in Sam Clam's Disco tonight, having a lovely personal appearance up there in cooperation with our affiliate, the Great Green 960 in the Bay Area. He will be back and broadcasting tomorrow from San Francisco, as I understand it, on Thursday and Friday. Until then, it is I, Brad Friedman, broadcasting to you truth seekers from beautiful downtown Burbank, where the sun has set, and after the last 2 hours of ranting and raving, I'll try to calm down. No promises. We're going to have joining us. We've been talking all night about the media, the failure of the media, the failure of the Democrats to do anything about it, to take the media back, to take our public airwaves back, to protect them, to guarantee freedom of the press, as we find in this little document called the Constitution, quaint though it is. I take it damn seriously. And so to that end, we're going to be talking with Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff shortly, the co-editors of Project Censored's new Censored 2010. Just out today, we're going to talk about some of the Project Censored awards this year. Your humble blogger, I'm told, has received one. But before that, I want to check in with my colleague over at VelvetRevolution.us, an organization that was co-founded by the Brad Blog. So full disclosure there. They've launched a new campaign which is near and dear to my heart. Emily Levy is representing Velvet Revolution. She is a longtime election rights, voting rights advocate out here in California. It's a damned important campaign as far as I'm concerned. Here's what all you'll need to remember for a start. Diebold, returnourmoney.com. Emily, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks, Brad.
What is DieboldReturnOurMoney.com?
Well, it's a new campaign, as you said, that's launched by Velvet Revolution, and we've got a bunch of partner organizations, too, just launching this week, calling on Diebold to give back over $100 million in California taxpayer money that's been paid for them for their voting systems, which have turned out to be faulty and failed in just about every way possible, including some newly discovered this year flaws in their systems that should have resulted in their federal certification never have been granted to them. But in fact, they did get that certification, partly because the process is so bogus. And in fact, Diebold knew about some of these flaws that delete ballots from the voting machines without notice and allow the...
Hang on, let me just repeat that. Let me pull a Huell Hauser here.
Okay.
Delete ballots without notice? What? Will you repeat that for us? They actually drop ballots without telling the system administrator. They just disappear them from the election results, correct?
That's right. And in fact, last fall, there was in Humboldt County, California, where Eureka and Arcata are, there was a group of election integrity advocates who were doing a pilot project where they were actually scanning all the ballots to post them online so that anybody who wanted to could count the votes and check the official results. And in that process, which was undertaken in partnership with their local county election official,
right,
they discovered that there was an anomaly. There was a discrepancy between the official vote count and the vote count that they were getting.
Mm-hmm.
And in investigating that, they discovered that an entire deck or batch of ballots had been deleted. And this is a flaw that Diebold knew about and had done virtually nothing to tell anybody about. They'd sent an email to the counties that used the system in question, the version of the software.
Years ago, four years ago, they said, hey,
that's right,
be careful of this problem. Now, the Secretary of State of California, Deborah Bowen, jumped in. And we should add, though this campaign focuses on California, these machines, these tabulators, are currently used in 34 states, if I recall. around the country that have this flaw that we're discussing and other flaws like it, because California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, she did a study after this came out in Humboldt County and found that you could go in to the tabulator and with a click of a button, without even having a confirmation, yes, no, with a click of a button, you could delete all of the audit logs that are supposedly there to track electronically anytime anybody goes into the system.
Required to be permanent, that's right.
Required by the federal voting system standards. These machines, whether they're touchscreen machines, whether they're OpScan machines, they fail on point after point. Bowen had to decertify one of the versions of this, but other versions that have some of these same problems are still being used in California. So, and in 34 states. So the Diebold RetournOurMoney.com campaign, which we ask people to go and sign on to, it'll send a letter to three different parties asking for three different things. Tell us, Emily Levy, real quickly, what those the three planks of this campaign are.
So the first one is to Diebold itself, and it will actually go directly to a couple of email addresses at Diebold, including that of Chris Rigall, which is his real name,
Rigall.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
Demanding that they return California's money. It will go to Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, who we're calling on to decertify Diebold. Diebold has been decertified and recertified a number of times in the state, and at this point we are saying we're done with them, kick them out of the state forever. And then the third addressee is Attorney General Jerry Brown of the state of California, who we're calling on to prosecute Diebold, to look into, to investigate, look into the possibility of filing suit against them for breach of contract and fraud should they not return California's money in 90 days. This is taxpayer money. California is in desperate straits right now. We cannot abide a company taking over $100 million of our taxpayer money that we need for our parks, we need for service, health services for families, we need for
California,
people with disabilities that are having their assistance cut back. There are tons of things that, that we need this money for, and we it's just intolerable.
California is facing a huge budget shortfall, billions of dollars. I know other states are as well. And yet, you know, I compare this to the AIG thing, where they were given millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars in that case, and basically did any damn thing they wanted with it, did not get deliver to the taxpayers what they need, you know, what we had asked for, and instead they delivered fraud. And so we want $100 million back from Diebold.
Well, $100 million is really the figure that we're using because it's what we were able to document had been spent,
mm-hmm.
because the money has been spent by the state, by counties, at different times for different things, all involved in the Diebold system, and we weren't able to get a hard figure of exactly how much it is, so we're saying we want it all back. We know it's over $100 million.
It's over $100 million. Okay, one, that's what we want from Diebold to return our money. Two, Deborah Bowen has decertified one version of this software, but incredibly, she has allowed for the moment these, and she's up for re-election, so hopefully she takes notice here, these same products are still being used, in other versions of it, in other counties around the state. She needs to decertify all Diebold voting systems in California.
And Jerry Brown to go after whatever he can do, whether it's a breach of contract case, a criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm. He's the attorney general. He's maybe running for governor. He needs to investigate and prosecute these guys. Enough is enough.
That's right. And now I want to talk about what we're asking the listeners to do, which is to go to DieboldReturnOurMoney.com and send an email from there to Diebold, to Deborah Bowen, and to Jerry Brown. It's one email that goes to all three of them. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us at VR_tweet. If you're on Facebook, search for Velvet Revolution, and there's links on our fan page. You can become a fan of Velvet Revolution in general, and then there's links to our causes and other fan pages that we've got for each of our campaigns that we're doing right now. Smart. This is only one of our campaigns.
Indeed. Smartly done. You can get straight there, dboldreturnourmoney.com, and all of those emails, you've made it real easy to just click a button, send it out to all of them saying, you join with us in saying, enough is enough. Let's have some real action here. Unfortunately, this is one of those points that the media has not been covering. I was happy to see Emily Plain Dealer covered it in Ohio, because right now, Diebold is being sold to ESNS, the largest voting machine company in the world. They've purchased the entire voting division, election division at Diebold, which means that ESNS will now control something like 75 to 80% of our votes, every vote in the U.S., unless ESNS is stopped from having this election monopoly. So they picked up the story at Plain Dealer because Diebold is an Ohio company, and they talked about our campaign. But, you know, folks need to understand they need to participate in their democracy. They can't participate in their democracy if their votes are just, their ballots are deleted by these crazy e-voting systems that don't work.
That's right. And we're starting this campaign with Diebold, and we're starting in California, but we'd really like to see it expand to the other electronic voting system vendors and to other states. And if people are interested in working on that with us, they can contact us through the velvetrevolution.us website. We'd be happy to work with folks to expand the campaign.
It's about people, not the corporations. Thank you, Emily Levy of velvetrevolution.us. The campaign is DieboldReturnOurMoney.com. Project Censored coming up right after this.
Once in a...
Go on, I just lost it. Think it's time for a change. You may get disgusted. Start thinking that I'm strange. They keep talking on the ground. Get some heavy rest.
Welcome back to the Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike, who's in San Francisco. He will be back tomorrow. Never fear, truth seekers. Let's see. We've been, we've been beaten up on the media all night. We've been beaten up on the fact that Democrats don't stand up and fight for your public airwaves. Well, somebody who has been fighting for the public airwaves and to get the truth out for, a whole bunch of years, going on 30 now, I think, are the folks over at Project Censored, projectcensored.org. And their new book, Censored 2010, is out today. Censored 2010, the top 25 censored stories of 2008 and 2009. We've got a link to it at the top of Brad Blog, where you can buy the book, where you can support independent media and support those folks out there who have been telling the stories, trying to tell the stories in the media that have been ignored. Joining us right now are the co-editors of that project, Peter Phillips, a professor of sociology at Sonoma State University and president of the Media Freedom Foundation. He is one of the co-editors, and let's actually go through this one at a time so we know whose voice is who. Peter, welcome to the Mike Malloy Program.
Hi, Brad. Good to talk to you.
Great to have you here finally, and let me get Mickey in here. Mickey Huff is an associate professor of history at Diablo Valley College. He's also on the executive committee of the Media Freedom Foundation. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Where's Diablo Valley, Mickey?
Just outside of Berkeley, California.
Ah.
Bay Area.
Bay Area. Okay. And, Peter, you're up in the Bay Area as well, are you not?
North Bay, up by Santa Rosa.
All right. Well, congratulations on the new book. I have to give a full disclosure here in that apparently I'm one of the Project Censored Award winners this year, but also I contributed, you asked me, and I was honored to contribute a chapter to your book on the, what was it on again, Peter?
Election 2008, Vanishing Votes, Disappearing Democracy,
what?
And Media Misdirection.
What? I hadn't heard. Really? I hadn't read about it. Well, yeah, and I covered it in a chapter in the book, which I had really a difficult time getting down to a single chapter with so much that went on and that was just not covered out there in the media. And let's get the other thing out of the way here. I was awarded one of these Project Censored Award for, in part, for my coverage of, well, let's let Mickey explain this particular one. Do you remember which one it was, Mick?
Story number 12 this year.
Yes.
I believe that would be the mysterious death of Mike McConnell, Karl Rove's election thief. Yeah, and you were in great company with you know, Mark Crispin Miller and some others at the Raw Story.
Larissa Alexandrovna over there.
Yeah, and Muriel Kane.
Yep.
And you all just did a bang-up job on a story that is connected in many ways to, well, the things that you've been writing about and talking about for years now. And you, in fact, even did an update for us, which was fabulous.
Which people can get to at projectcensored.org. We've got a minute here before the break, and we're going to keep you guys on for the rest of the hour. But let me add, and we'll try to take some calls if I can fit them in, at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Let's try this with Peter, since this is, I think, your 14th year working on this book. 13th year. Okay. This goes back to 1970, what, 78 they've been putting out?
76. 76? Carl Jensen's first year. That was, he was the founder of Project Censored. He did it for 20. I've done it for 13. Now Dr. Ben Frymer is taking over as director of Project Censored up here at Sonoma State.
So media failure to cover stories that are important, and we're going to go through what some of those stories are in a second, frankly, is nothing new. In truth, it's been going on since at least 1976, if not longer. There's been a need for Project Censored to report on what you're not hearing about. We're going to talk about some of those stories, but Mickey, well, actually, Peter, real quick before we go to a break here, is the problem getting better or worse over these last years?
It's far worse. We've gone, in the time the Project Censored's been around, we've gone from 50 major media corporations down to 10. And they dominate the news. They're in the entertainment business, not the informing business. And they literally are propagandizing us with public relation firms' spin from government corporations.
We're going to even the score a little bit right after this break. Brad Friedman in for Malloy on Project Censored with the co-editors Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff. Stick with us. More after this.
Say goodbye, don't be angry with me, should I cry?
Hey, Truth Seekers, on the road in San Francisco tonight while my good friend Brad Friedman hosts the program. Play nice, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night.
No playing nice, Mike. We're tearing up the joint. Brad in for Mike. We're speaking with the co-editors of Project Censored, Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff. Co-editors of Censored 2010, the top 25 censored stories of 2008 and 2009. And we will take your calls if I can fit them in at 877-520-1150. The Mike Malloy Program brought to you tonight by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner, my good buddy. Go to, he's my homie, he's from Missouri. Go to usalone.com for info on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. usalone.com. All right, back to Peter and Mickey concerning Censored 2010. Let's hit a couple of the I want to go through with you guys a couple of your favorite stories from among the top 25 censored stories of 2008 and 2009. What, before we hit them, though, Mickey Huff, what makes a censored story, essentially?
Well, that's a great question, because there has been some confusion of it over the years and actually some criticism of the project. And censorship, modern media censorship, is any act, anything that interferes with the free flow of information in our society. I mean, a free flow of information is the life's blood of our democracy. I don't want to get, you know, too hokey or cliched and, you know, go back and source some of the founders here.
Hey, I've been there with you all night long, brother. Don't worry. Go for it.
But, you know, I mean, these folks knew, I mean, for all their faults and, you know, their edifices and so on they had going on, the problem here is that there are many factors afoot that are akin to censorship that are not simply outright omission. I mean, that's when people hear censorship, they hear the big hand cuts the story. They hear blackout. Now, granted, some of the things we've done are literally blacked out. I mean, there's no coverage in corporate media whatsoever. But other problems that we see where corporate media may dabble with some stories are problems of framing, labeling, attacking, where they have an avoidance of really going through and asking follow-up questions on things. So our definition of censorship, which you can see at projectcensored.org, and you can also see in the books, is anything that interferes with the free flow of information and anything other than getting out all the known facts and transparency and sourcing. And this is something actually that we call the end result of this kind of journalism is validated independent news.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the business of collecting validated independent news, and we're doing that now not just through the Project Censored website and through the annual books, but we're doing it through Media Freedom International and our Project Censored affiliate program, where we're having universities and colleges get involved in this vetting of information process. Because as Peter said rightly in the introduction, corporations are not in the business of producing accurate information. They produce pro-profit propaganda for their stockholders, and they produce things that mislead the public so that they can get away with murder.
And we should say, and sometimes murder is the real end result here, but we should say that Project Censored is in conjunction with the faculty and students at Sonoma State University. It has been for 28 years?
34 years.
30, how many?
34.
34 years, okay. Peter Phillips, you said before the break that over the past 34 years, the case has gotten worse as we've had fewer and fewer media organizations out there actually controlling all the news. You responded in this book. This is your last year, I think, working on the yearbook, the Censored 2010, to some of the folks who have been critical of Project Censored over the years. And I can't tell if the response here was somewhat satirical or if you meant it. Do you want to give me an idea? Do you know what I'm referring to here?
Well, we did a whole special chapter kind of addressing the question that we've been criticized in print. Are we a left-leaning, conspiracy-oriented organization?
Uh-huh.
And the answer is absolutely not. And we spent a good 30 pages explaining that. But what we did in particular was go back and analyze the kinds of stories that we did during the Clinton administration and the kinds of stories we did with the Bush administration, because we were often accused of attacking Bush.
Uh-huh.
And what we're doing is stories about the powerful. And so whether it's Clinton or Bush, we find parallel stories all the way through, starting wars, lying about the enemy, you know, cutbacks in social services, a variety of things, building empire, so to speak, in both administrations. And what the Fourth Estate, what media is about, is exposing what the powerful are doing, you know, being transparent about who the winners and losers are in the decision-making processes in government and the highest levels of corporations. And that's an ongoing task that we need to address in a broad way, and corporate media is not doing it. So this year we've got 9 universities participating in this project.
Mm.
And we hope to expand that to hundreds worldwide that are looking at the and validating independent news stories, like stuff that you do at Brad's blog, that needs a lot of people in the country. They're not sure who to trust on the Internet. So as we validate stories from the Internet, and universities engage in that practice, people can start to learn who to trust and where to go for news besides the corporate top-down media.
Yeah, I love this quote you have in here, Peter. Why stories about the powerful in government and big business are left-leaning is beyond our understanding. They sort of indict themselves, don't they, when they say that, oh, these stories about big business and government, in going after those stories as left-leaning, they sort of indict themselves.
Exactly.
It seems
to me. It's not any more left-leaning than it's right-leaning or middle of the road. I mean, it's just good journalism.
All right, let's talk about some of this good journalism. Mickey Huff, do you have? We'll sort of go back and forth here between the two of you. Do you have a favorite top censored story of 2008 and 2009 that you want to pull out here?
Well, let me see. It's real hard to pick a favorite because they're all doozies.
They're all huge.
You know,
yeah, they really are.
As you know,
are.
we get well over. You know, we get 150, we get 200 stories. I mean, that's another reason we're getting into the validated independent news process.
Mm-hmm.
People say, man, you could just put these up online all year round, and that's what we're going to be doing when we're vetting these stories and validating the
good
accuracy of these things. Which yeah, exactly. We're doing what the corporate media won't do.
Well, then, if not a favorite, give us an idea of one that jumps out at you that, you know, we can let people know that has been censored.
Absolutely. In fact, like, if you really look at the top 25 stories, and you can see them for free online at projectcensored.org on the link to the right,
mm-hmm.
the top 25 censored stories for 2010, stories number 1, 6, 8, 14, 19 all deal with some kind of Wall Street bank corruption, the Fed basically owning Congress, you know, the influence of money and the rank corruption of Congress.
Uh-huh.
And I know Peter might want to talk about some of these, but just one of the stories that really stood out to me is staggering as we were doing the research on it. And, I mean, I had to rub my eyes, you know, and really think about what this meant, is that special interests lobbyists spent, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, $32,000 per legislator per day.
Per day?
For every day the Congress is in session. I mean, this is what the public is up against in the so-called democracy. There's no way that the voice of common people can be heard through this fog of money that
mm-hmm.
just blurs everything that's going on. And, I mean, those thematic stories, those five or six stories in a row, I mean, whether it's Congress invested in defense contracts where they're clearly benefiting from this, follow the $1 million a day in the healthcare lobbyists, the money that pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies are loading into this debate, and why the public option and single payer is off the table, it's a no-brainer why it's off the table. It's because they want to protect the status quo and they want to keep the money, and the corporate media is in the business of protecting stockholders and keeping the money.
And the corporate media has a very difficult time reporting on how the corporate media wants to continue the status quo that way. That's one of the problems that we run into. How are they going to out themselves, so to speak?
They're not going to do any of that.
Peter Phillips, any stories jump out to you as the most notably censored this year?
Well, certainly the number one story, and Mickey alluded to this, but, you know, this is Congress sells out to Wall Street. And that's got to be a theme this year of the
mm-hmm.
amounts of the millions and millions of dollars that flow into the Beltway in Washington, D.C. We know in particular now that the investment firms, Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, AIG, Fannie Mae, they contributed since 2001 $64 million to congressional candidates, presidential candidates, both parties. Obama and McCain each received a total of $3.1 million. These are the folks that got the $700 billion in the bailouts. And they specifically gave money to the committees on banking, housing, urban affairs, and the finance committees in both the House and the Senate. The committee members alone received $5 million just in the 2007-08 election cycle from these the people who got the bailout money. So, I mean, money's greasing the palms there in a big way.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so, I mean, that's just... It's shocking to us to see it all happen, and then, of course, with the financial collapse and how that's behind that, and how they how the Congress opened the doors for this to happen, allowing these banks to invest in these subprime bundled mortgages and derivatives and this sort of thing that has hurt everybody in this country. We got to pull the covers off of this in a much bigger way than just, you know, having a censored book. I mean, everybody in the country should be talking about this and being aware of it and being politically active around this corruption.
They should. You know, as I'm browsing this list, and even just browsing the list, number 2, U.S. schools are more segregated today than in the 1950s. Nuclear waste pools in North Carolina. Obama's military appointments have corrupt past. I mean, these are stories that, and I'm glad you've got follow-ups on them at the website, as well as I think you've got links to the various stories, and they're certainly in the book, Project Censored. I don't know what we do if we don't get out, if we don't somehow improve the media as things are getting worse, as you say, rather than better. Real quickly here, and then we're going to have to move on, unfortunately, because we're coming up against the end of the hour. Well, let me give one more story from each of you. Mickey Huff, let's go to you. One more story that you want to make sure that people hear about this year.
Another story that, you know, really just should be, again, a no-brainer, should be something that's part of open dialogue, but it won't be because it's clearly part of the propaganda campaign to dupe the American public into believing they have a choice about politics and political parties, and that's story number 20 this year, secret control of presidential debates.
Yes.
You know, that's just a doozy. I mean, and this goes back to the 80s, the Reagan years. I mean, that's, again, the thing with a lot of these stories is they're not just now. You know, like the story, the number one story goes back to the Phil Graham and the Clinton years and the repeal of Glass-Steagall. Mm-hmm. And this. I mean, so the blame goes all around. And these, both these parties are in on this, and they're both lying in their pockets, as you can see some of the great biting cartoons from Khalil Ben-Deeb again this year in the book. I mean, they're just spot on. And this story in particular goes back to the secret deals between private corporation between Republican and Democratic Party that control the debates.
And to continue that duopoly, Peter Phillips, and let me get, just because we're short on time, Peter, one other one jump out for you.
Well, I study power elites, so Obama's Trilateral Commission team is amazing to me. There's only like 400 people in the Trilateral Commission, only 80 Americans. This is the world, one of the world planning bodies of elite corporate headquarters all over the world trying to encourage capital growth and expand to their own self-interests. And Obama picked 11 people from the 80 in the United States who all know each other. Basically, they're in the State Department, the Treasury, the Ambassador to the UN, National Security Advisor, all from this one small group of people in the Trilateral Commission. That kind of networking, that kind of insider deals and predetermined policies is not democracy.
Oh, you're so left-leaning, Peter. Before I let you guys go here, Cosimo in the Brad Blog chat room says, what? No Sabell? Has she made the list in the past years? They're asking, of course, about Sabell Edmonds. We've been talking about that quite a lot tonight. Boy, it seems to me like that is really the mother of all censored stories, as far as I can tell. Is she? Has she been in here before, or is that you think she might show up in future editions?
We may see her coming up ahead. I know you've been covering what she's been doing. She was quiet for a long time. And so we're really looking to see what's going to come out of that.
Boy, oh boy, I hope you do, because that seems to be the mother of censored stories. Where the hell is the media? Excuse me. Peter Phillips, Mickey Huff, I want to thanks for joining me. I want to congratulate you on today's release of the book, Censored 2010. The top 25 censored stories of 2008-2009 from Sonoma in cooperation with Sonoma State University. You can go to projectcensored.org. You can go to bradblog.com where we've got a link to the book. Buy the book. Support these folks. Yes, I have written a chapter for it, but I get no money from it. I just want the news, the stories, the real story to get out. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us tonight.
Thanks very much, Brad.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank
you bet. Good luck, guys. All right, we're coming back to close it up. We've got a couple of folks hanging on the line, been hanging on for a long time, and I'm going to try to run through those lines and get back. Yeah, don't look at me that way, Tony. Yeah, I know. We're going to come back. We're going to come back to them. We're going to get everybody in. We're going to say thanks to everybody, and everything will be okay. Man. So you see how the media works, folks? You see how it doesn't work, folks? You see how, you know, we're stuck on a few dozen stations out there while the liars are out all over the nation in every car telling you what doesn't matter? Pay attention to the folks out there who are telling you what does matter. Project Censored is one of them. Certainly, Mr. Malloy is doing so every night. I'm trying to, but we need your support. Starting to sound like a fundraising. We're not trying to fundraise here, although some support would be nice for all of us. That said, we got to yell and scream and make noise and hold some feet to the fire to change this situation. Much more right after this.
To fill the air.
Good catch there, Tone. I like it. My thanks tonight to my engineer, rock and roll, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. Great job as ever. Producer and phones, Desi Doyen out there. Ben Birch over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Agent 99 for manning the BradBlog.com chat room. Thanks also to KTalk AM 1150 for hosting me here in the lovely Stephanie Miller Studios. And, of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in. For those listening on MikeMalloy.com, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Let me see if I can clear out these calls that they've been holding all night. Sorry, we have not been able to get to so many folks. Stephen in Burbank.
Hi, Brad.
How are you? You got about 15 seconds. I'm sorry.
Well, before the collapse of the Soviet Union, there were many articles speculating and predicting about what would replace it as the big bad boogeyman.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what those articles are, if somebody could publish a book, you know, because I know I saw them. I know that I may have even seen some in the L.A. Times, you know, and here's what they were predicting, and here's exactly what happened. You can see it, rogue terrorist states, you know, terrorism, rogue states, blah, 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 that. Get to the next call, dude. We'll talk later, okay?
Thanks, Steve. Okay. Have a good night.
Uh-huh.
Robert in San Francisco. You got about 15 or 20 seconds.
Molloy's having a beautiful time. It's wonderful weather in San Francisco.
Why aren't you up there seeing him tonight, Robert?
I got off work too late.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you got to scrounge for every buck you can get nowadays.
But,
you know, the thing is that this election campaign finance reform and verifiable ballot trail is seems to be the two real pressing issues that we need to get a hold of. This health care thing, I don't think it's going to come out the way it really should come out until the congressional members aren't held hostage by big bucks.
I hear you. You're right.
It's a system that we've allowed to get this way, and the people inside it, I don't think are going to change it. We're going to have to do it.
Thanks, Robert. I agree. Get the money out of the campaigns, and we don't need a verifiable trail. We need paper ballots, and we need to actually count them. All right, I've enjoyed myself. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, America. Thanks, DU and Brad Blog. Keep it lit. We'll see you on the blog. Have a good night.